Well, good evening, everybody. Welcome to Extended Hands of God Highway Ministries. Tonight we have Pastor John English from Galloway Full Gospel in Springfield, Missouri. And what a blessing he is to this ministry. Looking forward to hear what he's going to share with us tonight. Before we get started, we're going to play a song from Bob Smith, For His Love. And Bob, he retired there for Gene and Kenny and I worked there in Kansas City, known Bob for quite a while, and he's got some good music out there. And this song here, Brother Greg and I used to kick this one around. It's called Ain't Nobody Like My Jesus. And after that, Pastor John will take it over.
There ain't nobody as good as my Jesus. There ain't nobody as good as my Lord. There ain't no nobody as good as my Jesus. There ain't no nobody as good as my Lord.
Well, I know he is the King.
Ain't nobody but Jesus.
I know he is the King of Kings.
Ain't nobody but my Lord.
He is the Lord of all.
Ain't nobody but Jesus.
He is the Lord of great and small.
Ain't nobody but my Lord.
There ain't no nobody
as my Jesus. There ain't no nobody as good as my Lord. Well, there ain't nobody as good as my Jesus. There ain't no nobody as good as my Lord.
Give the help in time of need.
Ain't nobody but Jesus.
Yes, he supplies all of my needs.
Ain't nobody but my Lord.
He is the great I am.
Ain't nobody but
Whoa.
Jesus.
Exciting song, and I'm telling you what, there's nobody like our Lord, nobody like our Jesus, and I'm thankful tonight to be on the line. I've got something I want to share with you tonight. I've had a song that's been rolling over in my spirit. You know, when you get a song that just begins to roll around in your heart, one of those songs that you can't get out of your mind. It seems like you sing it all day long. I've had one of those songs that's really been a blessing to me in just the last couple of days that really, really stuck with me. And it's that old song that we all know so well, I Surrender All. I Surrender All. You know, you think about that song, All to Thee. I Surrender All. And I thought about that song, you know, for quite some time now. And as I thought about that song, I started to think about what it really meant to surrender to the Lord. Now, I would have to say that most of us tonight on the line, we probably, if we were asked, we would probably answer and say that, yes, we have surrendered ourselves to the Lord. Man, when you really begin to think about that word surrender, and you really begin to think about what that really means, when you really begin to think about what the Lord is asking of us, when you really begin to look honestly at your own life, we might have to answer that question a little bit more cautiously. You think about the words of that song, I surrender all to the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's been rolling over in my heart, and I've thought about this word, surrender. Without a doubt in my mind, everybody on this line, I'm sure that you love the Lord. I'm sure that you're living for Him. I'm sure that you've understood the amazing grace of God. But have you surrendered all? Have you totally and completely surrendered to Him? The Bible tells us in the book of Romans, chapter number 12, and I love this verse. This has got to be one of my favorite verses in the Bible. Romans chapter 12, verse number 1, and this is the scripture that came to mind as I was thinking about that song and what did it mean to surrender all. I thought about this verse, Romans 12 and 1, Paul writing, he says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, talking to the church, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. I want you to think about just those first few words of that text. Paul said, I beseech you, therefore, brethren. Now, I encourage you. I am asking of you. I am calling on you to present your bodies a living sacrifice unto the Lord. Let me ask you again tonight, are you surrendered to the Lord? He says, present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You think about that word surrender. You listen to that scripture. And in my opinion, that scripture really deals with total and complete and absolute surrender. I want you to think about what Paul was asking of us. He says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you present your body. Or you could easily say that you would present yourself. Let me ask tonight, how long has it been since you've presented yourself to the Lord? I'm afraid that often we try to hide ourselves from the Lord, especially in times of disobedience, especially during the times when we struggle, when things don't seem to go quite right, when we're dealing with some doubt or some fear. I'm afraid sometimes that we're much like Adam in the garden, and we try to hide ourselves from the Lord. We're almost ashamed to reveal what's inside of our hearts. And we forget that, like, God knew exactly where Adam was, that God knows exactly where we are. But Paul is asking that we
present ourselves. That you present your body, that you present yourself just like you are. Some of you understand God wants us to come as we are. God already knows our struggles. God already knows our shortcomings. He knows our failures. He knows our fears and our doubts. And the only thing that God is asking of us is us. Not a made-up religious version. Not a version that's perfect on the outside, but terribly imperfect on the inside. He's just asking for us. Paul said that you present your bodies, that you present yourself, now listen, a living sacrifice. A living sacrifice. You know, I think about that word sacrifice. And I think of a sacrifice that's offered to the Lord. As you think back to the Old Testament, the Old Testament is filled with great imagery of what a sacrifice was and what it accomplished. And you can most easily maybe think back to the lamb. The lamb that would be a sacrifice that would be offered to God. Most often that lamb, that sacrifice would be bred to become a sacrifice. It would be born into this world to serve as a sacrifice in the future. That lamb would be fed and nurtured and cared for with the knowledge that it would someday be offered to the Lord as a sacrifice. That lamb or whatever sacrifice that it may have been, that lamb had no rights. That lamb lived only to please its master. And that sacrifice would someday die. The sacrifice would be tied up, it would be laid on the altar, and then it would give its life in its death as an offering unto the Lord. Now, I believe in this scripture that Paul likens our surrender to the Lord to that of a sacrifice. As he says that you present your bodies holy and acceptable unto God as a living sacrifice, not a dead one, but a living sacrifice. Now, I don't know about anybody else, but this really speaks to my heart that as a living sacrifice. I want you to think about that. See, God's not asking for us to die physically because Jesus already died for us in our place. Jesus already went to the cross of Calvary. He was the Lamb of God that was slain before the foundation of the world. He was that perfect sacrifice that would satisfy the sin debt of mankind. Therefore, God's not asking me to physically die for him. But he's asking that you and I would live for him. That we would live as a sacrifice, and that we would offer ourselves up unto him. Or I would say that we would surrender our lives, that we would surrender our hearts, our plans, our futures, our service, our love, all that we are and all that we have, that we would somehow surrender that to the Lord. Again, I think back to the sacrifice, and you could picture with me a lamb that was born and bred to become a sacrifice, and every day that it would live did not live for itself, but lived for the Master. And it was raised up to become a sacrifice to the Lord. The Bible goes on to say that we are to be holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And I like to say it this way, that's the least that we could do in light of all that God's already done. Of all that God's done for us, of all that God's given us, with the understanding that God sent his only Son to a cross to bleed and to die for you and for me, to understand that God's given us the precious gift of the Holy Spirit, to understand that he's given us the promises of his word, that he's brought us into the kingdom of heaven. He's adopted us into the family of God. After all that God's done, our reasonable service, the least we could do in light of all that God's done, is to live for him, to surrender ourselves to him, to give all that we have and all that we are, to surrender our hopes and our dreams so that we can be that living sacrifice offered up unto God. And the Bible goes on to say, and be not conformed to this world, transformed by the renewing of your mind. Surrender. I see the act of complete surrender in the sacrifice that Paul is asking us for. That we would surrender our hearts, that we would surrender our lives, that we would surrender our love to the Lord. So that, as the Bible says, we can then prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God in our lives. Now you think about surrender, and I go back to that sacrifice. I go to the lamb that was sacrificed. It lived and died to please and to serve its master's need. Just as we should not die, but live a surrendered life. As a sacrifice would die as an offering to the Lord, you and I are called upon to live as an offering unto the Lord. To live a surrendered life. Now, I will say tonight, the more that I thought about this subject, the more that I thought about that song that was rolling around in my heart, the more that I thought about this scripture, the more difficult it seemed to get. What I mean is this. I said in the beginning that most of us would answer the question that we're surrendered to the Lord, that we've surrendered ourselves to God. But true surrender, total surrender, absolute surrender, can really be a painful thing. And because it's painful, it's very rarely truly achieved. I want to say that again. Because total surrender is so painful, it's very rarely truly achieved. Now, we could sit up on this line all night long and we could testify of how that we are surrendered to the Lord. We could sing that song, I Surrender All. But true surrender is painful. Because for us to truly surrender to God, completely and absolutely something's going to have to change. Things are going to have to die. We're going to have to give a part of ourselves that we're not usually willing to give. And because of that pain, because of the high expectation, you see, the lamb did not have the luxury of offering just one of its lamb chops. It didn't just offer up its wool. But the lamb, the total, the entirety of that lamb was laid on that altar. God's not just asking for our service on Sundays and Wednesdays. God's not even just asking for 30 minutes a day in the prayer closet. God's not just asking for a part of us, but as a living sacrifice, we don't have the luxury of offering only part while holding on to the rest. When Paul writes and he says, offer, present your bodies as a living sacrifice, that's the totality of what it means to surrender yourself to the Lord. I know that we would like to think that we live surrendered lives. I know that we would like to maybe boast that we're totally surrendered to the Lord, but I've got to say that I'm not sure total surrender is often or easily achieved. Think about what I'm saying. You think about what it means to surrender. You think about what God is asking. Total surrender would imply that we have died to our own will. That we have laid our plans and our desires on the altar. That we have given ourselves over completely to the Lord. You think about that. Now, it's easy to believe that we're surrendered when we're living a casual Christian life, when we can offer God just a few moments per day, and when we can go through the motions of religion and feel as though we've surrendered to Him. But do you realize tonight that surrender would imply that we die to our will? We lay our plans, our future, our desires on the altar, that we give ourselves completely to the Lord. The most beautiful picture that we see of this is in the garden. When Jesus, the Son of God, the Son of God is in the Garden of Gethsemane. Where I believe that he is struggling with his own humanity. Do you realize he was the Son of God and he was the Son of Man at the same time? All God and all man. And in the garden, I believe that we see a struggle between his humanity and his deity. And we see Jesus struggling within himself, struggling against the human side. And he struggles there to surrender to God. Are you hearing what I'm saying? We see that picture of Jesus when he totally surrendered himself to the will of his Father to become a sacrifice for humanity after being in agony in the garden, after sweating as though it were great drops of blood, after wrestling with his humanity, and after knowing what was to come. Remember I said in the beginning a few moments ago that total surrender can be a very painful thing. And because it's so painful, we very rarely see a life that is completely surrendered over to God. Because Jesus knew, even in his humanity, that his surrender would cost him his life. that his surrender would cause horrendous suffering, that he would be, that he would have to endure terrible affliction. Jesus knew what it meant to surrender completely to his Father's will. And yet in Luke 22 and 42, Jesus says, "Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." Surrender is a painful experience. Surrender is a costly experience. And Jesus knew that surrender would require his suffering, that it would require his blood, that it would require his life. And yet there in the garden we see Jesus, he being the perfect picture of surrender, as he being the Lamb of God that was slain before the foundation of the world, he being the Lamb. Remember, the Lamb that was sacrificed, the Lamb was bread. Come on, somebody. He was bread to serve the need of the Master to be offered unto God. And the Bible says Jesus came to humble himself to the obedience of the cross, that Jesus was made manifest that he might destroy the works of the devil. How would he destroy the works of the devil? By offering himself as a sacrifice on the cross. Come on, you got to hear what I'm saying. Jesus was that sacrifice, totally and completely surrendered to the will of his Father. And Jesus, he got that of us. But experience the pain of surrender. But he said, "Not my will, but thine be done." You know, we look back at the surrender, the sacrifice of Christ. We look at the scripture of that Paul writes when he encourages us to be a living sacrifice unto the Lord. Let me ask you tonight, are we really fully surrendered to the Lord? Or do we serve him casually? Do we give him a part and hold on to the rest? Do we boast in our surrender, yet we've never felt the pain of sacrifice? I don't know about you, but it made me think. It made me wonder. It made me turn the spotlight on my own heart. It made me look at different areas of my life and ask myself, am I surrendered? Have I surrendered those things to the Lord? See, one reason it's so hard to completely surrender is that we've got to die to self. And I don't know about anybody else, but self is a powerful force at work within us. Often the very reason we never fully surrender to God is because self won't allow us. Because rather than Jesus being the king that sits on the throne of our heart, it's still self. Self is still in control. Self still rules in authority. Paul the apostle asked the question, "Who shall deliver me from this body of death?" And it's as though we're still carrying around that old dead man. The man that should have been laid to rest at the point of our conversion. But often self still rules and sits on the throne of our heart. Therefore, it's not God that we're surrendered to, it's self. And I'm talking to somebody, maybe. It's self that we serve. It's self that we're surrendered to. It's self that we live to please. One of the reasons we never do achieve total surrender, that we don't become a living sacrifice, is because we're not able to die to self. Self is a powerful force. And along with self, we then must, along with dying to ourself, we then have to be willing to forego our will. And how many of you know that that's not an easy thing to do? God's given us a mind and a will. He's given us emotions. He didn't want us to be robots. We have the will to choose and decide. We have a will that drives us. How many of you understand the will of man is a powerful thing? Going all the way back to the garden, you will find that it was their will that overrode the commandment of God. They wanted to taste the fruit. They chose to disobey in the garden. In the perfect atmosphere of the garden, their will overrode the commandment of God. And often we never do truly experience total surrender because we're not willing to forego our will. Now, going back, Jesus said, "Father, if you can allow this cup to pass from me, then praise the Lord, but not my will." See, even Jesus in his humanity had a will. But Jesus was able to forego his will and say, "Not my will, but thine be done. My will. My way. That drive inside of me that's only thinking of me." We've got to die to self. We've got to forego our will. And then another tall order is that we must abandon our desires. You see, self working in conjunction with our will, working in conjunction with our desires. Self, will, desire. Our desires. The things that we want, the things that we crave. The plans that we make, the decisions that we decide, what we're going to do, where we're going to go, what we're going to have. Often our desires are not abandoned at the altar. Now remember that sacrifice was laid on the altar and it was tied up. It didn't just jump up and run off every time, but it was laid there and left there on the altar. But so often we lay our desires on the altar, but as we get up and turn around, our desires jump off the altar and follow back to our chair with us. How could we ever truly surrender to God if self is still in control? How could we ever truly surrender to God if we're still going according to our will? And how could we ever surrender to Him if we don't abandon our desires? Self, will, desire. Three powerful forces at work that must be put aside if we are to truly surrender totally to the Lord. Again, we would all probably say in the beginning, "Yes, Brother English, I've surrendered to the Lord. I've surrendered to the call of God. I've surrendered to His command." But have we really? Or have we settled for an imitation, counterfeit surrender? Have we given Him enough just to appease our religious hearts? Have we given Him just enough so that we can sleep at night and pat ourselves on the back? Or have we been that living sacrifice that doesn't have a will, that doesn't have any desire apart than to please the Master? See, true surrender is painful. And really, I've got to say, it's not an easy task. It's not just something you wake up in the morning and you decide to do. But I believe it's possible. I believe it's possible by our faith in the finished work of Christ at the cross. I believe it's possible when we reckon ourselves dead, but alive in Jesus. I believe it's possible through the work of the Holy Spirit, the work of sanctification. I believe it's possible for a man, for a woman, to truly reach the point of absolute surrender to God, where we're willing to lay our flesh, our self, our desires, and even our will on the altar and leave it laying there to be offered unto God. Talking about surrender in your heart, your fears, your doubts, your dreams, your future, your goals. Surrendering all of your shortcomings. Surrendering your strength. Surrendering your love. Giving it all to Him. Realizing that this life you live is not your life, but it's His. Surrendering every moment of our day. Surrendering ourselves to Him. The only way to truly surrender, to live a life of surrender, is number one, to live a life of sacrifice. During my pre-marriage counseling sessions with people that are going to get married, one of the first things that I say to them is that marriage is a sacrifice. What I mean by that is, if you want to have a successful marriage, then husband, be willing to sacrifice yourself for your wife, and wife, be willing to sacrifice yourself for your husband. And if you will live a life of sacrifice, if I'll wake up tomorrow morning, and if I'm willing to lay John English aside so that my wife can be happy and fulfilled, and if she will in turn do the same, she'll never have a problem in your marriage. Living a life of sacrifice is the only way to surrender. Jesus gives us the ultimate picture of sacrifice. The ultimate picture of surrender as He went to the cross and became the sacrifice for humanity. The sinless, spotless blood of the Lamb was shed in an act of surrender to the will of His Father. Number two, you've got to not only live a life of sacrifice, but it's got to be a life of faith. You see, without sacrifice, you'll never achieve true surrender. And without faith, you'll never be able to surrender completely to God. Go back to the book of Genesis and you will hear the call of God in Abraham's ears when God says, I'm going to call you up out of your country. You're going to leave your kindred. You're going to go away and search for a city whose builder and maker is God. Abraham didn't know where he was going. He just heard the voice of the Lord in his heart. And yet Abraham, the father of faith, Abraham, the man that believed God and was accounted unto him righteousness, that's how Abraham was able to become the father of many nations. Why? He lived a surrendered life. How? By living a life of faith. You've got to believe in God. You've got to believe that He is and that He's a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. You've got to put your faith in His plan. You've got to put your faith in His sovereignty. Not only do you have to live a life of sacrifice, but you've got to live a life of faith. Often people fail to totally surrender to God because if they do, they're no longer going to be in control. They don't have the faith to trust God to get up and move from where they live to go be in the ministry somewhere else. They don't have enough faith in God to give $1,000. They don't have enough faith in God to lay down their control and give control over to the Lord. a life of sacrifice. A life of surrender will be a life of sacrifice, and it will be a life of faith. Without those two things, you'll never completely surrender. And then another one is, if you're going to be totally surrendered, you're going to have to live a life of obedience. Oh, surrender's not that hard, Brother English. Well, total surrender requires a life of sacrifice every day, laying yourselves down on that altar to be offered unto the Lord. A life of surrender requires a life of faith, a walk of faith. It also requires a life of obedience. I can't even imagine how we could ever surrender without being obedient. You go back to the story of King Saul. And the prophet gave the king specific instructions. As you go back and you read the story of Saul, you will see that Saul really was not surrendered completely to the Lord. No, no. Saul was more concerned with the people. He was more concerned with what he thought was best. He was more concerned with what everyone thought of him. So Saul, rather than obeying the Lord, the Bible says he disobeyed. He was in rebellion, which is as the sin of witchcraft. God said, kill it all, destroy it all. And yet when the prophet walks up onto the scene, he hears the bleating of the sheep. He approaches the king. He confronts him, and immediately Saul says, but the people. Saul was more concerned about the people than he was about the commandment of God. Saul was walking in rebellion, disobedience, not obedience. To live a life of surrender, it must be a life of obedience. We must be willing to walk in obedience to what God says. Even if we don't like it, even if we don't understand it, even if we in our own flesh question it, we must obey. To obey is better than sacrifice, the Bible says. So you see that a life of sacrifice and a life of faith and a life of obedience, they all tie in together, hand in hand, to create surrender. Now, again, I will say, and I'm going to close. At the beginning of this message, had I opened up the lines and asked the question, I think that most of us, including myself, we might have answered a little bit arrogantly and said, yeah, I'm living a surrendered life. Yes, I've surrendered to the Lord and to his call, but have we really? Man, I tell you, when this song began to roll around in my heart, when I went to this scripture, when God began to birth this message in my heart, let me tell you, I was under conviction. I am under conviction. Because I realized that however much I think I might have done, I don't think I've quite achieved total surrender. Maybe because it's so painful. Maybe it's because I'm afraid to let go. Maybe it's because I'm not real sure about what it's going to take. But tonight I believe the Lord's laid it out for us. Not for you, for us. For all of us. In a moment I'm going to open up the lines. And I'm going to give you an opportunity to answer the altar call. I'm going to close this portion of the message with the sinner's prayer. And then I'm going to ask you just to say your name. And by saying your name, you're going to be confessing that you might have thought you were surrendered, but now you're not so sure. And that your heart's desire is to live a life of sacrifice, to live a life of faith and obedience so that you can surrender yourself to the Lord. And when I open up the lines, before I ask you to say your name, I'm going to say mine. And tonight, if you're listening on the line and if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, there's no better time than to surrender your life to Him right now. The Bible says that we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But that if we will confess with our mouth and believe in our heart the Lord Jesus Christ, that He died on a cross, He paid the price for our sin, and He rose from the dead, the Bible says we'll be saved. You see, through your confession and through your faith in what Jesus did at the cross, and through your acceptance of His sacrifice, your sins are forgiven, and you're adopted into the family of God. I'm going to say a prayer with you right now. If you're not saved, or maybe you were at one time and you walked away from the Lord, you can say this prayer with me now. Repeat it out loud wherever you are. Dear Heavenly Father, I confess to you that I am a sinner, and I need a Savior. I believe in my heart, and I confess with my mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, that He died on a cross. He shed His blood. He paid the price for my sin. And I ask you now, God, to forgive me. Come into my heart. Be my Lord and Savior. Wash me white as snow. And I will live my life for you. I thank you for it. In the name of Jesus, amen and amen. Now, if you said that prayer with us, then they're going to have some information for you. But I want to be the first one to welcome you to the family of God. God bless you.
Okay, Pastor John, it wouldn't let me unmute. Let me stop the recording.